From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Alan Young. Today, big news out of Sacramento City Hall. The City Council has rejected a contract extension for City Manager Howard Chan, citing a desire for new leadership and concerns over Chan's high salary. Last year, Chan received approximately $593,000 in total wages, the second highest paid city manager in California. After a contentious debate, the council voted 6-3 against continuing Chan's contract, signaling a major shift in city governance. Today, we're joined by two new city council members. Roger Dickinson, a veteran of state and county politics, returns to public service as the council's District 2 representative of North Sacramento. And Phil Pluckybaum, a planning commissioner and healthcare project manager, steps into leadership as the District 4 representative for downtown, midtown, and East Sacramento. Before we dive in, a quick note. Insight airs live at noon and rebroadcasts at 7 p.m. During our 12 p.m. show, I misspoke in saying that Chan was effectively fired. In fact, the City Council voted not to extend his contract beyond its end date of December 31st. Councilmember Dickinson, welcome to Insight.
Oh, Alan, it's great to see you again.
It's great to see you. Councilmember Pluckybaum, it's great to meet you.
Thanks for having me. Sorry I couldn't be there in person.
That's okay. Welcome to Insight. Councilmember Dickinson, you joined Mayor McCarty and four of your new colleagues in voting against the contract extension of the city manager. Why was it important for Sacramento to move on from the tenure of Howard Chan?
You know, I think that with the transition with Phil and I joining the council along with Kevin as the new mayor, there's also at the same time a significant interest in revitalizing, if you will, the leadership of the city, taking a little bit different direction potentially, and I think that. That the feeling among those of us who didn't support extending the contract was that to do so would really be continuing to tread water in a sense, not resolve a situation that had become quite a distraction for the city. So we'll see what happens. Howard Chan can continue as city manager if he so chooses under the charter, even with the termination ending of the contract. So we'll see what he decides to do. But I think that desire for change in leadership is reflected in the vote last night.
Well, what was the problem that you aimed to fix with your vote?
Well, I think that it's not so much perhaps a problem as much as it is simply a desire to see us have a chance for new leadership, to construct some new relationships between the city manager's office and the council, to remove an issue, frankly, that had almost become so dominant in the public mind and for the council that it really detracted from what else the council is trying to do.
Councilmember Pluckybaum, you unsuccessfully voted to extend the contract extension for the city manager. What can you tell us about your reasoning and also what are your reflections on the outcome of that vote?
Yeah, thank you for having me. In the sting, you mentioned that we had fired Howard. That's not correct. I think you just heard Roger say that last night what we did was choose not to renew his contract, and he could continue as city manager indefinitely at the will of the council outside of his contract if he so chose. But ultimately, what we expect to happen next is, and what the city manager has told us, is that he'll tender his resignation, and we'll have the benefit of his continued service as an assistant city manager in his old role. So he had a sort of a bounce back provision under his contract for the next year. So we'll have some continuity. But the challenge that we faced, I think Roger summarized accurately that, you know, there was a frayed relationship between the council members that have worked with Howard over the past years and the public. And, this council is trying to figure out how to reset that relationship. Onward, you know, now we have it's a team building year. We're going to be doing a recruitment and, this council will be coming together under the leadership of Mayor McCarty, trying to figure out how to provide the best staff sort of mix that we can.
I want to get into some of the contours of the vote. Councilmember Karina Talamantes said she initially planned to support a one-year extension of Howard Chan's contract, but changed her vote after a three-hour closed session performance evaluation. While respecting the confidentiality of closed session discussions, can you share any insights or factors that influenced the council's decision? Councilmember Pleckebaum, let's start with you.
So without speaking to anyone's sort of specific votes or thinking, in general, the decision that we had to make was, would we offer Howard a contract extension or not? If there was a path forward that we thought we could continue to work with Howard indefinitely, or for some shorter period of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, that was the first threshold decision that we had to make. And then if that was not the case, then it was a question of how do we manage the separation? Is it, you know, better to do it like we did last night, or would it make more sense to, you know, give him another year and plan a more measured, maybe protracted search and transition?
Councilmember Dickinson, do you have anything to add and as to why council members may have changed their vote?
Well, I want to be very circumspect, of course, about the confidentiality of a closed session. But I do want to make sure the public understands there were no decisions made in the closed session. The decisions and the votes of the members are all made and taken in public, full public view. So there was nothing other than a discussion among the council members about their various perspectives, points of view, experiences. What I would say is that I didn't think it was at all contentious. It was more an exploration of how we all view the circumstances, including some of the technical details that apply in this instance. And I think that just that expression of those different perspectives, I don't want to certainly speak for Councilmember Talamantes or any other council member for that matter, but I think that discussion may have been the predicate for rethinking for some how they had approached the issue before the session took place.
And what about for you? Was there rethinking at that juncture?
Well, I certainly benefited from what I heard from my new colleagues that I'm very proud and delighted to be serving with. But I would say for me, the essence did not change. What I felt needed to be the ultimate outcome as I approached the issue remained what I thought needed to be that outcome.
Mayor Kevin McCarthy voted yesterday against extending Howard Chan's contract. He spoke on Insight last week that he was open to extending the contract. The mayor expressed a desire for stability in his first year, but also that he would speak to the council first. Councilmember Pleckebaum, you campaigned with the mayor. What do you make of his vote? And any questions about a apparent change of heart?
I don't think he had a change of heart. I think he was absolutely open to working with Howard and will over the next year in his capacity as either a city manager outside his contract or assistant city manager if he chooses to exercise that provision. I think the campaign promise was not to keep Howard employed under all circumstances. I think it was in good faith, you know, give the best effort, you know, on behalf of the city to, you know, give us the best path forward. And I think that's what the council did.
I want to touch on a sensitive topic. Flojohn Cofer, who lost her bid for mayor last month, stated at last night's council meeting that she was offered a campaign contribution in exchange for agreeing to extend Howard Chan's contract if she became mayor. Here's what she told CAP Radio after the meeting.
So on September 24th, I was told that I would receive a campaign contribution, a maximum campaign contribution, so $4,050, if I was willing to vote to extend Howard Shand's contract for 1 year. And my response to the person was that my ancestors' wildest dreams are not to be ever bought and sold again, and that my integrity is not for sale, and I will not accept that. And so the contribution was never made, and that was kind of the end of it. But I made it known because I wanted to be clear that I have no reason to believe that Howard knew about or would have condoned such an action. But that it's happening here and that it would happen so casually with someone who was very clear, I'm not taking corporate money, was very clear about the role of money in politics, concerned me because it felt like it wasn't the first time that it happened and probably wouldn't be the last. And I wanted the council to really consider, you know, all of the, like, why are we being told that the city can't move on without one person?
Dr. Kofor also said that the offer has raised questions for her about whether other candidates were offered contributions like this before. Here's the clip.
I have to, you know, in the same way, question, like, did this happen to other people? And the other question is why? Why are people being willing to break the law to be able to do this? Like, that raises some serious questions for me about what is going on.
Dr. Kofor declined to name the individual to CAP Radio, citing personal safety concerns. But she said she reported the text to every member of the last city council and the city attorney. What is your response to these allegations, Councilmember Dickinson? We'll start with you.
This is something that I think is quite serious in its nature and should be reported to appropriate sources in order to determine whether there's further action that should be taken. But I can certainly say categorically, no one in this campaign or previously has approached me on this issue or any other. And I've been in a few campaigns and offered a contribution in exchange as a quid pro quo for a position or an action that I might take as an elected official. So I can certainly affirmatively say that with respect to this campaign and this issue, I never had any such interaction with anybody who either offered or actually did contribute to my campaign.
Councilmember Pluckybaum, did you receive any offer, incentive, or benefit, direct or indirect, from any individual or group in connection with extending Howard Shand's contract, either before or after being elected to the council?
No, I certainly did not, and second everything Roger just said. These are serious allegations that need to be investigated and taken seriously. The integrity of our elections can't be, we need to work to make sure that there is an unimpeachable process as a part of our elections, and I think we all understand the implications of when you get an endorsement from a group, you know, an interest group, and they say we want you to support the kinds of issues that we represent, that's a very natural endorsement process. But when they cross the line into saying we want you to vote in a specific way or take a specific action, that's where these types of things get a little dicey. And if someone made the mistake of blurring that line or crossing that line, then appropriate action needs to be taken.
Councilmember Dickinson, do you agree with Councilmember Pluckybaum that this calls for an investigation?
Well, I think the charges, as I said, are serious and would warrant an investigation. I think the crux of it, though, is that the charges, especially given the seriousness of their nature, should be reported to appropriate sources. And those sources are trained and experienced in making judgments about whether investigations are warranted or not. So I wouldn't necessarily assert my own judgment in that regard, but I certainly feel that it's a quite serious allegation. And I certainly concur with Councilmember Pluckybaum that preserving the integrity of our election process is absolutely critical. And so we want to make sure that it's carried out in a fully fair, appropriate, and legal fashion.
Your District 2 predecessor, Sean Lolo E., resigned his seat in January after being indicted on multiple federal charges. Those charges included hiring undocumented workers, wage theft, tax fraud, and misuse of pandemic relief funds. What is your plan to restore trust and governance to District 2 and to the city?
Well, Alan, I think that's an excellent question. And I think you start restoring that trust from the ground up. I think you have to demonstrate as the representative of the district that you care about what happens in the district. You're present. You are responsive. And I think, at least in my case, what I hope to do is have some tangible, identifiable improvements occur. They may not be gigantic items. Maybe they're small items. But bringing people together, showing that we, as a community and a neighbor set of neighborhoods, we can get things done that make a difference. I think you rebuild trust essentially brick by brick, piece by piece. And so it starts with having someone who is there and responsive, and then it builds from there.
You and Mayor McCarty both held the District 6 assembly seat.
Seven, I gotta say.
Pardon me. Thank you for the clarification. District 7 assembly seat. How do you think this shared experience in politics will shape your working relationship with the mayor?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thought, because I observed on the night we were sworn in that we actually had, I think, five of the last six people who had held this particular assembly district, starting with Deborah Ortiz, who held it, and of course Daryl Steinberg was there. Kevin and I were both there, and Maggie Krell, who's now taken that office. And I thought that was rather extraordinary, but I think it also speaks to the sense of continuity and community we have in this city. I think we are lucky in that regard. I know that Mayor McCarty and I share some common experiences from having been in the legislature, albeit at different times, but representing the same constituency largely, and going through the same process. And those are some things that I think give us a level of or type of relationship that can be very beneficial as we work together now as colleagues on the council.
Councilmember Plucky Baum, we've been talking about ethics. Your campaign received strong backing from developers and other business groups. How will you ensure your decision-making on development projects remains independent and transparent?
Yeah, I've had good conversations with Roger about this recently, where, when decision-making is principles-based, when you start with, you know, a common set of goals and a vision for the city, and you let decision-making processes follow from those core principles, it tends to keep you on the right path. And the city is going to go through a process now, as we're sort of gelling as a new council and hiring a new city manager, of reestablishing, reviewing, revisiting our vision, mission, goals, and what our sort of our agenda is going to be for the coming years. And we need developers. We need to build a bunch of housing. The common narrative that they're, the boogeyman or, bad people, I don't think is helpful. We need folks to be willing to invest in our community, and signaling to both the public that we're going to do a good job representing their interests and not get rolled by every business interest, but also signal to the business interests that we're not going to treat them like, criminals trying to get one over on us, I think is an important balance of where hopefully this council can get to.
Continuing on that economics theme, Mayor McCarty has tasked you with chairing his Streamline Sacramento panel focused on economic and housing development. What strategies do you plan to prioritize to support local business and bring foot traffic back to downtown, revitalizing key areas of your district?
So just starting with downtown first, the key to downtown from my point of view is making it a place that people want to be. Not that they have to be as a condition of employment, but a place that they actually want to be, to live, work, and play. So if we can't make downtown, and this is true for every neighborhood throughout the city, it's not unique to downtown in any way. If we can't make Sacramento and all of its neighborhoods places that people want to be, that you want to go and hang out with your friends, that you want to go have a meal, that you want to take a walk through the park, we need to make these really livable neighborhoods. That is our city's vision, right? To be the most livable city. I'm a project manager. My skill set is pretty straightforward. The same thing that we did on the Planning Commission years ago in terms of streamlining that process is the discussion that I think we're going to have about what we can do in the building department throughout the rest of the city. And I'll tell you, staff is already way ahead of us on this work. The new chief building official and the senior city leadership up and down the building department and planning staff have already started robust conversations about how to collapse timelines, create more certainty, incentivize more development, and create the kind of affordable housing inventory that we need.
Councilmember Pluggiebaum, that's our time today. We appreciate you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Councilmember Dickinson, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll be talking to the both of you many times as the years go on.
I look forward to it, Alan. Thanks very much. And happy holidays, by the way, to everybody.
Thank you. Roger Dickinson is the new councilmember for District 2 in the city of Sacramento. And Phil Pluggiebaum is the new councilmember representing District 4. Coming up next, our exit interview with former District 4 Councilmember Katie Valenzuela, who served from 2020 to 2024 and was replaced by Councilmember Phil Pluggiebaum. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Alan Young.